We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our gorgeous sister in Christ, Miss Renee Kielhoffer. How are you doing this morning, beautiful?
I'm great. Good morning. How are you? I love that introduction. And I wish that everybody could see Tina's big grin when you when you always acknowledge her. That's cool.
It's such a blessing to have her.
Both of you.
It's a blessing to be here.
Amen.
Both of you. I've pray that God blesses you for what you put into this. It's no small thing. Mm-hmm.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email. Yeah, email, not meal. Mail. At hourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located right here in Elk City, Oklahoma, y'all. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
Yes. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time together. Father, we just pray that you would anoint the words that are spoken and that you would anoint our hearts to receive, that we will be changed from the inside out and hear from you today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Lisa. Good morning, Rick. I like your title this morning, God Wants to Do More.
Yes, he does. He does. We settle. We get complacent and comfortable, but God wants to do more. I want to start this morning with a praise report. My mother is 84 years old, and on December 22nd, she woke up with her right leg from the knee down just almost black with big blisters on it. My dad took her into ER, and they put her in the hospital, said she had some infection. They wanted to keep her overnight, see if they could figure out what was going on with that. Well, to make a long story short, she was sepsis, and she had, I'm probably not saying this right, but necrotizing fasciitis, which is like a flesh-eating bacteria, and she is a diabetic and has high blood pressure, and apparently that's they're more prevalent to that. But it just came up so quickly that on Christmas Eve, they had to do emergency surgery at 2 o'clock. They thought they might have to take her leg off, but when they got in there, it was not as bad as they thought. And so they were able to just like scrape the first layer and take some tissue out in a couple of places to get down to live tissue. So that was our first praise report. Well, they moved her to a skilled nursing facility because she had to have wound care every day, and she's still sepsis and doing the IV antibiotics. Well, she got off the IV antibiotics last Friday, and her white blood count is totally normal, but she went to her surgeon, and her leg is not healing at all, like no signs of healing at all. And they took they take the dressing off every day, and it would just, and this, you know, I don't mean this to gross anybody out, but it was just still bleeding and oozing and saturating through the bandages every day. And to the point that the surgeon was kind of baffled because he couldn't do a skin graft because he didn't want to open up another part of her body that might not heal. And so he just didn't know what he was going to do. And everybody started praying. And this was on Tuesday, or on Monday. On Tuesday, they undressed her leg to change the wound. Completely dry, new skin is growing. She's getting up and down on her own. I mean, this is a miracle. God did this because it happened. It had the healing happened overnight. And so I just want to give God the praise for that. And to remind us all that God wants to do more. Mm-hmm. We've just come through the holidays where we've celebrated the birth of Christ, our Savior, our Messiah. It's exciting time, and that's awesome. But now we're like those shepherds after they had their encounter with Christ. They had to go back to the field. They had to go back to their sheep, back to their overnight shift, you know, and that's where we're at, is now we are going back to the ordinary life that we had before the holidays. And for some of us, that life might have been a struggle. We might have felt a little stuck. Mm. We may have had some questions. We may have had some concerns. And while we're thankful for our Savior's birth, maybe we haven't let that change us like God intended. And so sometimes through the holidays, especially if you're a Christian and you really focus on the birth of the Savior, you kind of get a little reprieve from what's going on in your life a little bit. It's a little bit easier to put it on the shelf and say, okay, I'm just going to focus on the good. And because we're human, we compartmentalize that and we say, I'm going to focus on the good through the holidays. And I'm going to get back to the mundane things of life once the holidays are over. Well, that's where we're at. We're back in the mundane things of life. But I want to encourage you that God wants to do more. He wants to do more in your life than he did in 2022 or all of the years past, ever how old you are. God wants to do more. You know, the shepherds' response when they got back to their mundane life was to let loose and worship and to tell everybody they met that they'd had an encounter with the Savior. They went back to their mundane lives. Yes, they did. But they knew that that encounter with the Messiah, even though nothing had changed, it changed everything. And it's the same way in our lives. When we meet the Messiah, it changes everything, even though it may look like nothing changed. It's hard to explain, but it's still true today. God wants to do more, but in order for him to do more, we have to allow him to work in us. It starts in us. He wants to take us deeper. I think that's my word for 2023, maybe, is deeper. Deep. God wants to go deeper than he's ever gone before. He wants a deeper relationship with me than I've ever allowed to happen before. And that's what he wants in your life, too. So in order to do more, he has to work in me. And he has to work in you. You know, God makes an impact in your home, in your family, in your church, in your community by making an impact in you. That's where it starts. So you might feel lost. You might feel stuck. You might feel a little down or overwhelmed by life. But God wants to do more, and I want to encourage you to start by reading the Word and praying on your knees and in the Word. There's no shortcut to to this life with Christ. I want to read a scripture to you this morning. It's Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13, and I'm reading out of the Message version. It says, "Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention." There's no formula to seeing God move in your life. There's no shortcut. It's not your spare time that God wants. He wants all of it. And when God does a new work in us, it's going to pull at the old. You know, that work is twofold. I want to read another scripture to you this morning, and that is Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. And I'm reading this in the New Living Translation, but it says, "Once when John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, 'Why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do?' Jesus replied, 'Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them, but someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins." And I love that, because when God wants to do a work in our lives, it is going to stretch the old. It's going to stretch who we are. It's going to pull, and it's going to hurt sometimes. So there are two works that really need to continually happen in us for God to do more. And the first is the work that makes us flexible. That needs to happen. Like new wineskins, we have to have the ability to flex and expand. New wineskins hold new wine because as the wine ferments, it expands. And so if the wineskin is not flexible, it will build up pressure and actually explode. You ever feel like you're going to explode? You ever feel that pressure building up like you're going to explode? Yeah, I've been there too. More times than I care to count.
Go on.
But when God wants to work in our hearts, we have to be flexible. That means we are willing, literally willing, to be reshaped all over again. And that's a constant process because we are never going to be completely whole, completely perfect until we are in eternity with our Savior, till we have made it to the other side. So until then, it's a process. And it's going to happen over and over and over again as we allow God to do the work. Change always happens on the other side of flexibility. Well, think about that. I mean, flexibility equals sensitivity. Inflexibility equals insensitivity. So we have to be flexible in almost every area of our lives. You know, we've got to be flexible in our relationships, in our family, with your spouse. Can I hear an amen on that? We have to be flexible in situations. When you're flexible, you are open to the true power of the Word of God. And our miracles are often on the other side of that flexibility. Before God pours in the new wine, the work that makes us flexible must be done. Otherwise, we're going to build up pressure and burst. So think about it this way. If you are spiritually rigid, you're going to become emotionally and mentally rigid, because what we do spiritually affects the physical, and what we do physical affects the spiritual. It's so important that we get a revelation of the triune being that we are. We are created in the image of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. And we are created physical, spiritual, and emotional. We have a soul. We have a body. We have a mind. We are a triune being also. So whatever we do with one of those parts, it affects the whole ball of wax. And he wants to be Lord over that whole ball of wax, everything. So if you are, check yourself, you know, are you emotionally or mentally rigid? We might identify that as stubborn. Are you stubborn in an area? Have you got an area settled, figured out, done, and that's the way it is? No questions asked.
Let me pick my feet up.
I mean, I've been there, and I've been there on spiritual matters. Mm-hmm. You know, I have thought that I had this spiritual principle figured out. This is the way it is. This is the way it works. And check that box and move on. But we need to reserve the right to grow smarter as the Holy Spirit leads us and teaches us. You know, the way God used that principle in this situation may not be the same way he's going to use it in the next situation. You know, I'm reminded of the guys in the Bible who were the blind men who were healed. You know, a couple of them were just healed by Jesus touching them. But the one guy, you know, he spit in the dirt, rubbed it in his eyes, and go told him to wash. Well, the outcome was the same, but the process was different according to what each individual needed for their spiritual growth. And so when we get stubborn and rigid, we put God in a box and we miss out on the more that God has for us by not allowing him to make you flexible. And most likely that's going to be a process, and that process might even require some brokenness. We might be so rigid that some things need to be broken before we can be flexible. And sometimes that hurts. You know, we need to understand that this life is not a walk in the park. God didn't promise us cozy.
Come on.
He promised he would be with us. Mm-hmm. He promised he would give us direction. He promised he'd give us wisdom. He promised we would not be overcome by the worries of this world and the situations that we face and the fiery darts of the wicked. But he did not promise that there would be victory without a battle. And he didn't promise that there would be a testimony without a test or a message without a mess. You know, it's all relevant because we are all human. And so that flexibility requires humility. You know, don't approach God with your resume.
Come on.
He didn't care. Everything that you've accomplished was only accomplished by the grace of God. So I want to read another scripture to you. In Matthew, again, it's chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. And I'm in the Message version again. It says, "And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for 15 minutes of fame, do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques, forgetting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with. Your Father. This is your Daddy. And He knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes." I love the simplicity of that prayer. And I love that. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. Because I think the devil gets credit for a lot of stuff that's just us. You know, so Father, work in me in spite of me.
Amen.
You're in charge. That's the Message version. Listen, I love the Message version. I've just like so gotten into this lately. It just, it speaks to my heart. It's in my face. And in case you're wondering, the Message version is a translation from the original languages into a more modern vernacular. And so when you think about that, you know, think about this. This is the way Jesus sounded when he was talking to the disciples and teaching to the multitudes. He was like, don't fall for this nonsense they're peddling. This is all you need. You have a Father who loves you. You can pray simply to him to protect you, to give you what you need, help you to forgive other people, help you to stay forgiven. He's in charge. Let him do what he wants to do. We don't have to have a formula. How many formulas are out there? Do you know, my pastor mentioned this Sunday morning in his message, but do you know that 98% of Christian books are written for Christians, not for the lost? We're supposed to be reaching the lost, but we are consumed in how we can make our lives better.
Come on.
That's convicting to me. What's the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So seek God and His way of doing. Seek that first. Seek your relationship with God first. Make that a priority, and all this other stuff will fall into place. years ago, I heard this preacher preaching, and he said, you know, I can't even remember his name now. I wish I did, because this was a powerful statement. He said, if you seek God with all your heart, if you love him with all your heart, if you do your best every day to serve him and to bring glory and honor to him, you will accidentally do his will. You will accidentally fulfill your purpose. I'm like, that's all it takes. He just wants us, and he'll do everything else. You know, so when you go to him, don't go to him with your resume. Don't go to him with your knowledge. Go to him thanking him for what he's done, and then be flexible to allow him to do whatever else he wants to do in you. Let him change you. God is the one who has done everything for you and in you and for me and in me. It's all God. If everything else disappears tomorrow, I want to be okay with that, because I have my Father watching out for me. We don't know what this life holds, but we know that this life is just a vapor. And we know that our Heavenly Father loves us like a daddy. You know, in this life, I'm blessed to have a very good daddy. And so, you know, even at 84, anything that is still within his power to do for me, he will do it, whether I ask or not, because he loves me, and I know that. It's a great place to be, and I know that everybody doesn't have that in this world and in this natural, but we all have it. We all have it with our Heavenly Father. And see, that's the thing. My father's 84. He very likely won't be here that much longer. But when he's gone, I'll be okay, because he showed me through word and action that whatever I need, my Heavenly Father will be there for, because my Heavenly Father has loved me through my earthly father. And so when my earthly father's gone, it's a direct line. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like there's still going to be peace. There's still going to be that support that I need. It's all there because my Heavenly Father loves me, and he doesn't love me more than he loves y'all. We're all family. We're all brothers and sisters. We are all his children, his kids. And I don't care if you're 60 years old like me, you can still climb up on daddy's lap and tell him what you need. And he is going to put his arms around you and help you through it. I am nothing, but he is everything. I like to say I'm a nothing, everything, nothing on my own, but everything through Christ. And here's the deal. You know, reality comes before release. So we may need to face some reality before we experience that release. Do we need to pray